turn to the book of Hosea. Book of Hosea. We'll read the 14th chapter. Hosea, chapter 14. O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Take with you words and turn to the Lord. Say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. So will we render the calves of our lips. Asher shall not save us. We will not ride upon horses. Neither will we say any more to the work of our hands, ye are our gods. For in thee the fatherless findeth mercy. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely. For mine anger is turned away from him. I will be as the dew unto Israel. He shall grow as the lily, and cast forth his roots as Lebanon. His branches shall spread, and his beauty shall be as the olive tree, and his smell as Lebanon. They shall dwell under his shadow. They that dwell under his shadow shall return. They shall revive as the corn and grow as the vine. The scent thereof shall be as the wine of Lebanon. Ephraim shall say, what have I to do any more with idols? I have heard him and observed him. I am like a green fir tree. For me is thy fruit found. Who is wise and he shall understand these things? Prudent and he shall know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk in them, but the transgressors shall fall therein. Hosea, of course, was one of the prophets raised up by God to call God's people back to God. Hosea was a contemporary of Amos. They both ministered to the northern kingdom, referred to as Israel, throughout the Old Testament. From chapter 1 and verse 1, we see that Hosea began his ministry to Israel, also called Ephraim, throughout the book of Hosea, for Ephraim was the largest tribe in the kingdom of Israel. But he began his ministry during the final days of Jeroboam the second, in whom under there was a time of peace, it was a time of prosperity. From chapter 1 and verse 1, we learn that Hosea had a lengthy ministry, spanning the reigns of four kings in Judah, which was the southern kingdom. And after Jeroboam the second, he was there for the last six kings of Israel. The historical period of Hosea's ministry is covered in 2 Kings, chapters 14 through 20, and also in 2 Chronicles, chapters 26 through verse 32. But he came on the scene at the end of Jeroboam the second's reign, and following the death of Jeroboam the second, anarchy began to prevail, and Israel began to decline rapidly. Hosea and Amos, again, they were the last two prophets before Israel would go into Assyrian captivity. So Hosea ministered during a time of great moral corruption, ministered during a time of spiritual adultery, ministered during a time of spiritual bankruptcy. It was a time when sin permeated the lives of God's people. And as you read the book of Hosea, we see that the book paints a very gloomy picture as far as Israel is concerned, as far as the condition of the people is concerned. But here at the end of the book, there is a picture of hope. There is a picture of restoration. I want to speak this morning on from spiritual decline to spiritual progress. From spiritual decline to spiritual progress. The first thing we want to notice is the condition of the people at this time. The condition of the people is illustrated very clearly and declared very plainly throughout the book of Hosea. At the very outset of the book, we see that in order to illustrate the condition of the people, at the command of God, Hosea is to marry a wife, and she would be unfaithful to him. She would love other men. She would deliberately leave him for pleasure. She would deliberately leave him for wealth. We see that the point being was just as Gomer, Hosea's wife, ran after other men, so Israel ran after other gods. Israel's spiritual adultery is illustrated by Gomer's physical adultery. Hosea, though he was heartbroken when Gomer left and after other men, he continued to love her just as God continues to love his people. And Hosea would eventually bring her back to him. His circumstances gave him the opportunity to speak God's message that Israel treated God the same way that Gomer treated Hosea. So throughout the book of Hosea, Israel's sin is viewed in the light of God's love, in the light of God's favor, in the light of God's faithfulness. The condition of the people here in Hosea 14 in verse 4 is summarized by the word backsliding. Again, all through the book we see the condition of the people presented, but it is summarized here in verse 4 by that word backsliding. And many, when they think of the word backsliding, they immediately think of those of God's people who have wandered into what man would consider horrid sinfulness. And though such certainly constitutes backsliding, the word is far more far-reaching than that. The word backsliding is a word that speaks, of course, of a spiritual drop-off, a spiritual downswing. We drop off spiritually, that's backslid. That's a backslider. The word has reference to a spiritual relapse. It's indicative of declining spiritually. Now, this can happen in many different forms. It can happen in any area of our lives, and it can happen in varying degrees. The word backsliding is a word that, of course, speaks of going backwards spiritually. Losing ground spiritually. And again, this can happen in varying forms. It can happen in any area of our lives and to varying degrees. The word backsliding conveys the idea of turning from God in some area in our life. It doesn't have to be a complete turning from God. It is a turning from God in some area of our life. in some form, to some degree. It is a departing from God. It is going in the opposite direction of God. Again, this can happen in many different forms. This can happen in any degree, in any area of our life, where we're going in an opposite direction of God. And it happens in varying degrees. It's a drawing back from God. Again, it can happen in varying forms. It can happen in any area of our lives in the varying degrees. It is a going and moving in the wrong direction spiritually. Backsliding. The word backslider occurs once in the Old Testament. The word backsliding occurs 12 times in the Old Testament. 9 of them being in the book of Jeremiah, and 3 of them being in the book of Hosea. The word backslidings, plural, occurs 4 times, all in the book of Jeremiah. But in whatever form the word occurs, it always speaks of a sliding backwards from God, a moving away from God in some form, in some area, to some degree. It is a word that is expressive of a spiritual decline in some form, in some area, and to some degree. It is a decline in our relationship with God. Again, in some form, in some area, to some degree. It is a decline in our closeness to God, in our devotion and in our commitment to the Lord. In Hosea 14 and verse 4, the Lord says, I will heal their backsliding. I will heal their backsliding. The word heal presents backsliding under the image of a disease. Backsliding in whatever form, in whatever area, to whatever degree, is a disease. I will heal their backsliding. This means that backsliding is a sickness. It is an ailment. It is a spiritual disorder. It is a spiritual affliction. It is a spiritual disability. It is a spiritual defect. It is a plague. It is a disease. The word heal also presents backsliding, not only under the image of a disease, but it presents it under the image of a wound. I will heal their backsliding. It is presented under the image of a disease. It is presented under the image of a wound. Both of those things, a disease and a wound, reveals that this backsliding causes pain. When you think of disease, when you think of wound, you think of pain. Backsliding causes weakness. Backsliding can cause a deformity. And the truth is, backsliding is the worst disease and the worst wound that a child of God can have. Whatever the form, whatever area, and to whatever degree, it is the worst disease and the worst wound that a child of God can have. It is far, far worse and does far, far more damage than any physical disease, than any physical wound. It's appalling when people... You question somebody about their salvation and say, oh, I'm saved, I'm just backslidden. As if that's a minor thing. If you're backslidden, you're not just backslidden. You have a disease. You have a wound that's going to grow, that's going to spread throughout your life. Backsliding, being a disease, being a wound, brings terrible consequences. Well, I'm just a little backslidden. Is there really such a thing? I haven't backslid in every area. Well, that's probably true. But one area, just one area, will spread to other areas. Remember this, all backsliding starts somewhere. It all starts somewhere. And wherever it starts, it's a very serious thing. It's a disease. It's a wound. We read in Jeremiah 2 and verse 19, speaking of the consequences of backsliding, "Thine own wickedness shall correct thee, and thy backsliding shall reprove thee. Know therefore and see that it is an evil thing and bitter that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God." No matter in what form, no matter in what area in our lives, and no matter to what degree, backsliding is evil. It's sinful. It's wicked. Jeremiah 2:19 says that it's bitter. That is, it's distasteful. It's very distressing. It's shameful. It's unpleasant. It's very painful. And it will bring great sorrow. It is a terrible and deadly plague, backsliding. Again, we read in Hosea 14 and 4, "I will heal their backsliding." The word heal means to make sound, to make whole. It speaks of restoring, mending, relieving, repairing, correcting. What it speaks of is that something is wrong. If something is healed, or if something needs to be healed, that means something is wrong. Something isn't right. And in all backsliding, no matter what the form, no matter in what area of our life it occurs, and no matter to what degree, all backsliding means that something is wrong. Something is wrong. It means that something is not right. Something is wrong between me and God. Something is not right between me and God. That's serious business. That's a disease. That's a plague. Again, whatever area it occurs, it can occur in prayer, church attendance, being serious about it, on and on we could go. It's not our point. You get the idea. It can occur in any area of our life, to any degree. But however it occurs, whatever area it occurs, and to whatever degree it occurs, it shows that something is wrong. Something is wrong. Something isn't right. And our church houses today are filled with people that have something. Something is wrong in their life between them and God. Something isn't right. But they comfort themselves. Well, at least I'm not down in the gutter. But don't you see, something is wrong. Something isn't right. Backsliding is very serious. This backsliding is dangerous. It is harmful. It is destructive. This backsliding is not only a going backwards spiritually, a backward going spiritually. It is a sliding. It is a sliding backwards. When you are sliding, the idea is that you have lost control. There is a loss of control. Your car begins to slide down the road. There are now dangers that there weren't before. And when you begin to slide backwards spiritually, there's dangers. There are tremendous dangers. When you are sliding backwards spiritually, just as when your car is sliding down the road and you have no control, a tragedy could occur. And so it is. So it is. Many times God's people say, well, I've never had a tragedy in my life. Oh, you've had many. You just don't know about it. Your backsliding has caused innumerable tragedies. This sliding out of control backwards presents many horrific and dreadful dangers. Not only putting us in jeopardy, but it puts others in jeopardy. Your car begins to slide down the road. Yes, you are in jeopardy. But so is everybody else that's in that area. They too are in jeopardy. And when you backslide, you not only put your own life in jeopardy, you put the lives of others in jeopardy as well. Don't ever underestimate backsliding. We read in Proverbs 14 and verse 14, the backslider in heart. This is where it begins. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. Whatever area. Again, it may only be one area. But in that area, you become filled with your own ways. And as much as you think that it's going to be confined to that one area, you are sadly mistaken. It'll grow in other areas. When the heart turns and departs from God in any area and begins to move in a different direction than God, in whatever form that occurs, in whatever area that occurs, and to whatever degrees, God's ways are then replaced with man's ways. He shall be filled with his own ways. And when I am filled with my own ways, and when you are filled with your own ways, that leads to innumerable hazards. And that places us in jeopardy, and it places everyone around us in jeopardy. Backsliding is dangerous, it's harmful, it's destructive, because it can and does lead to the loss of God's presence. We read in Numbers 14 and 43, because you are turned away from the Lord, that's backsliding, therefore the Lord will not be with you. Backsliding can lead to a loss of God's favor. We read in Jeremiah 15 and 6, thou hast forsaken me, that's backsliding, saith the Lord. Thou art gone backward, that's backsliding, therefore will I stretch out my hand against thee. Lost the favor of God. This backsliding is destructive because it will lead to spiritual coldness. Again, it may be in one area for a while. It will lead to man-centeredness. It will result in the loss of spiritual strength, just like disease and a wound. It will result in the loss of zeal. It will result in the loss of peace. It will result in the loss of assurance. It will result in a loss of joy. And eventually, it will fill the life with guilt. It'll fill the life with shame. It'll fill the life with darkness and defilement. These things begin to take possession of the backslider's soul. It's a serious thing, and it began somewhere. It began somewhere. And it began in the heart. It began in a specific area in your life. It began in a specific degree in your life. Again, backsliding always begins in one area. But it is a plague that desperately needs healing. Because if it's not healed, it will spread. It'll spread not only through your life. Backsliding is contagious. You'll spread it to others as well. The very sound of the word, backsliding, the very sound of that word ought to arouse our attention. It ought to fill us with great carefulness. It ought to fill us with great fear. Since backsliding is in some form, in some area, to some degree, a departure from the Lord, it is never a small matter. It is never a trivial matter. It is something that ought to greatly alarm every child of God, that there is such a thing as sliding out of control backwards spiritually. That there is such a thing ought to be a matter of individual concern. Not only is there such a thing, the Lord says in Hosea 11 and verse 7, "My people, those whom I have loved, my people, those whom I have purchased, my people, those whom I have saved, my people. My people are bent to backsliding from me. My people are strongly inclined to backsliding from me." Again, all backsliding is a departure of heart from God. And the fact that we are strongly inclined to such ought to be of great concern. Not only is there such a thing as sliding backwards spiritually, I'm inclined to it. You are inclined to it. That ought to cause us great fear. That ought to fill us with alarm. I can slide backwards from God spiritually. I can do that. Not only can I do that, I am inclined to do that. It's in my nature to do that. It's our tendency. Add to our tendency the infestations of Satan. The infestations of the world. You add those things to our tendencies, and the danger is great. The danger of sliding backwards is great. Again, this ought to greatly concern each one of us. For not merely in danger of occasionally sliding backwards from God. But in Jeremiah 8 and verse 5, we read of a perpetual, ongoing backsliding. We're not talking about an occasional backsliding. We also have a tendency to become perpetual, a continuous backsliding. Jeremiah 5 and verse 6, we read their backslidings are increased. And in Jeremiah 14 and verse 7, for our backslidings are many. So there is not only the danger of sliding backwards, I am inclined to that. There's not only the danger, there is a danger that it would continue throughout my life. And there are those today, there are those sitting here right now, you are in a state of perpetual backsliding. You're always backslidden. Some. Backsliding in one area, again, will never be confined to just one area. Backsliding will become backslidings. And backslidings will become perpetual backsliding. So, oh, how we ought to fear just one backsliding because of what it can become. Because of our tendency. We need to search and honestly examine if there be backsliding in our lives. You see, because backsliding is easy. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to do anything, and you'll backslide. You don't read your Bible, you'll backslide. You don't pray, you'll backslide. Just don't do anything. It's easy. It's also gradual. It's gradual. You don't just wake up one night in a hog pen. Doesn't work that way. It is a gradual backsliding that leads to the hog pen. It is a gradual backsliding that leads to perpetual backsliding. Backsliding has a beginning and begins in the heart. The result of backsliding is catastrophe. It is catastrophe. Oh, how careful we ought to be that we do not backslide. This is an everyday thing. This is something we must be careful about every single day, that we do not backslide. And if we do backslide on any given day, we need to take care of it. We need to take care of it right then, or they will increase. Now let's look at the remedy and hope for backsliding. The one who has the remedy, which is God, calls upon the backslidden. Verse 1 of Hosea 14, O Israel, he calls him by name, O Israel. In those words, you can hear the love of God. O Israel. Oh, Israel. We can insert our own name in that place. In those two words, oh, Israel, we find the love of God, we find the grace of God, we find the mercy of God, the long-suffering of God. Oh, Israel. We find the kindness of God. So he calls them by name. And then he gives the remedy. O Israel, return. Return unto the Lord thy God. Verse 2, turn to the Lord. So the remedy is found in those two words. return and turn. And you read through the Bible, and you see this remedy is repeated over and over and over and over again. It is repeated throughout the book of Hosea. Return. It is repeated throughout the book of Isaiah. It is repeated throughout the book of Jeremiah. Turn. Turn, O backslidden children, unto the Lord, we read in Jeremiah 3 and verse 14. The remedy is found in that word, return. Again, all backsliding is a departure from God. And the remedy is always the same. It's always the same. Return. Return. That is a command. O Israel, return unto the Lord. That is a command. It is imperative. But is it not also an invitation? Yes, it is. O Israel, return unto the Lord. O Israel, return unto the Lord. In every area of your life in which you have slid backwards spiritually, we need to return. That means we need to leave where we are and go where we ought to be. There is no other remedy. There is no other remedy. You can try other remedies and you'll just get further backslidden. There is no other way to be healed. Return. There's no other way to get better. Return. If you refuse this remedy, for whatever reason, your backsliding will turn to perpetual backslidings. And your backslidings will be increased. Notice again here in Hosea 14, what is involved in this returning or turning. Well, you have to leave where the backsliding has taken you. That's implied in the word return. We also see that there must be an acknowledgement of personal sin. Verse 2, take with you words and turn to the Lord. Say unto him. Say unto him. Take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. There has to be a personal recognition that our only help is in the Lord. Verse 3 says, Asher shall not save us. Every backslider needs to realize man will not save you. Man will not heal your backsliding. Says, Asher will not save us. We will not ride upon horses. We'll not depend upon horses. We'll not depend upon the power of man. There has to be this realization that your only help is in God. That's your only help. There is a confession of sin and a plea for God's grace. We see that in verse 2. Take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. And then there's a determination to praise the Lord. So, will we render the calves of our lips? And then we have the promise of God. Upon returning unto God, the backslidden will find healing. I will heal their backsliding. That is, God will make them whole. God will make them right. And upon returning, the backslider will find the love of God. He said in verse 4, I will love them freely. For all who may be backslidden, you return unto God, you'll find the love of the Lord. There is also the promise of mercy. For mine anger is turned away from him. That's another consequence of backsliding, is the anger of God. But when we return, mine anger shall be turned from him. There is a promise of blessing. In verse 5, he says, I will be as the dew unto Israel. The dew speaks of life. It is the dew that causes growth and abundance. But the blessing here of the dew is it's that which is regular. It's regular. It's every day. I will be as the dew unto Israel. There is growth as you read through verse 5. He talks about the lily. He talks about the roots of Lebanon, which speaks of strength. He goes on, he talks about the olive tree. So there's growth, there's beauty, there's fruitfulness, and there is strength, and there is stability in returning unto the Lord. So today, we need to examine our hearts. We need to examine our lives. Is there any backsliding in my life? And oh, that we would hear the voice of God. Oh, put your name, return unto the Lord. I plead with you today, in whatever form, whatever area of your life, and whatever degree that you have slid backward from God, return. Return. It is an absurd thing to continue in a backslidden state. It is absurd. Because first of all, you don't have to continue there. The Lord says, return. Return. You do not have to remain in your backslidden state. What's sad, all backsliding is sad, but what is truly sad is when backsliding becomes a way of life for a child of God. That's what God refers to as perpetual backsliding. There's nothing in your circumstances right now. There is nothing in your circumstances that makes it necessary for you to remain in a backslidden state. Nothing. There's nothing in your circumstances that dictates you have to stay there. There are better things. That's what verse 5 and 6 is talking about. He's saying, oh Israel, there's better things for you. Return. And this is true today of all of us. There are better things for us. And I'm not talking about heaven. I realize that. There are better things in heaven. But there's better things for all of us right here. If we just return. In whatever areas, we need to return. Well, I'm not as backslidden as so-and-so. You've missed the whole point. You've missed it all. You've missed it all. And you will continue in your backsliding. Even if you consider your backsliding to be minute, there is no such thing as minute backsliding. It's a serious matter. And it may be true. Perhaps you haven't backslidden to the degree of others. Certainly that's true of probably all of us here. We haven't backslidden to the degree of others. But that's not the point. It's not a matter of degree. We're backslidden. That's all that matters. Because we backslidden, we need. Whatever area we backslide in, our hearts become filled with our own ways in that area.
prayer is no